My name is Richard Serrett, and up here in the Great White North, I have a weekly radio program called The Conspiracy Show, which can be heard on AM 740, and we've got about 30 and counting U.S. affiliates south of the 49th parallel, and a television show of the same name, which airs across Canada on Vision TV and in the United States, syndicated now in, I think we're close to 200 markets, and recently sold it to Australia and Poland. Yay, we're big in Poland. Anyway, we'll get back to our conversation with Tom Voigt, who is in hot pursuit of the Zodiac Killer, a great murder mystery 45 years later. And who knows, maybe your clue, maybe your a little bit of information could help crack this case. Finally, we'll get to your calls when Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. Tom Voigt stays with us here on Coast to Coast AM, and then in the next hour, we'll begin our open line segment. Tom, witness the worldwide fascination with the Zodiac Killer case. Here's an email from Kate in Athens, Greece, who asks, serial killers just don't stop killing. If they do, they're dead normally. So what happened then?
Well, I think I know Kate. I think she's emailed me before. Well, that's the popular opinion is that serial killers have to either get caught or die for them to stop killing. But we have a couple recent cases that, they disprove that myth. Gary Ridgway was the Green River Killer, and he stopped killing. He killed approximately almost 50 women during a five-year stretch, and then he stopped. He stopped killing, and he was caught some, 15 years later. And he had just gone on with his life. He had the killing bug had he'd gotten it out of his system, I guess. And the second example is Dennis Rader, who was the BTK strangler, and he killed people in the mid 1970s and then stopped for about 25 years. And he had he was allegedly planning on killing a new victim at the time he was apprehended in 2004 or 2005. But those are two examples of serial killers that. And they killed multiple victims and then just were able to stop for years and years and years. They stopped killing. So apparently it's something that that you can outgrow, I guess. I don't know. I've never had the compulsion to really kill someone. But I guess the people that do have that compulsion, some can control themselves and some can't. Ted Bundy could not control himself, that's for sure, and probably never would have been able to control himself. But we have a couple examples of serial killers that did stop.
Indeed. Before we get to the calls, and they are lining up as we speak, as I anticipated, I want to talk about another one of the suspects, and you have a suspects page on ZodiacKiller.com, and this is Rick Marshall. Here was a guy that was a huge movie buff. He's still alive, as far as I know. Worked as a projectionist at a San Francisco silent movie theater called The Avenue at the time the Zodiac's killings were going on. Why did Rick Marshall become a suspect?
Well, Rick Marshall was he passed away, by the way, not too long ago. He was a ham radio operator. So it's kind of like that was the 70s equivalent of going into a chat room. And he was on his ham radio speaking to some people and apparently said some suspicious things. And this was in the San Francisco Bay Area, not long after the Zodiac murders began. And at that point, if you were a white male, and you acted even the least bit suspicious, people thought you were the Zodiac, or you could be the Zodiac. So these individuals that he didn't know who he was talking to over the ham radio, they started investigating with Marshall. And it was slow going back then. There was no internet, so it took a long time. You couldn't just click on a link and download a file. You had to actually get a pencil and paper and an envelope and a stamp and send away for things using the Postal Service. So the research under Rick Marshall initially was very slow going. And I feel a little bit guilty because once I got together ZodiacKiller.com, it was a very quick process of eliminating a lot of these suspects from the 60s and 70s. And Rick Marshall's one of them. In fact, I worked with the Napa County Sheriff's Department to eliminate Marshall from the suspect status. He was in a nursing home in Sacramento, and his care provider called me on my Zodiac hotline and said that she has a patient named Rick Marshall who is saying some very strange things about the Zodiac case. And so I contacted my Napa County Sheriff's Department contact, and they dispatched two investigators to the nursing home, and they were able to find enough evidence to rule Rick Marshall out as being the Zodiac. So I don't know if that was through fingerprints or through DNA, but he was finally eliminated, and it happened just a few months before he died.
Wow. I mean, that's a tremendous service that you're providing. But there was a connection between the Zodiac Killer, mentioning something about the Red Phantom, which was a popular, it was a silent movie. And was that the connection that some people were making between Marshall and the Zodiac Killer, the mention of the silent movie, because he was a projectionist at a silent movie theater?
Right. There was a letter that was attributed to the Zodiac Killer where he called himself the Red Phantom. And at the time the letter was received, there was a film called The Red Phantom that was playing at a local movie theater that was operated by Rick Marshall. And so that was one of the interesting connections between Marshall and the Zodiac. Lots of circumstantial little pieces of evidence that every suspect has circumstantial evidence against them, or they wouldn't be suspects in the first place. But that was one of the more compelling pieces of circumstantial evidence regarding Rick Marshall. He was very interesting. In fact, he emailed me in the year 2000 and called me a silly man, because apparently some of the information that I had about Rick Marshall at the time, he disputed that information, and he called me a silly man. So that was one of the highlights up to that point of running the website, was having Zodiac suspect tell me off in so many words.
Yet you were able to exonerate him just months before he passed away.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I was an annoyance at first to Rick Marshall, and then I think he probably, had he lived a little bit longer, might have appreciated the fact that, you know, I wasn't just out to pin the crimes on him or anybody else. I just want to really find out who was the Zodiac, and if I find evidence to eliminate a suspect, then I'm going to go for it. And I'm glad I was able to, before Rick Marshall died, I was able to, you know, have a part in clearing his name.
All right. You ready to take some calls, Tom?
Oh, yeah. I love open lines.
All right. Let's see if we can solve this case. Let's go to the wild card line. Robert is in Culver City, California. Hello, Robert. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi. How are you today? Richard, my name's Bob. I was always interested in the Zodiac case. Me and my dad were watching it on television. I'm just like Tom there. I mean, I was fascinated by it, the mystery of it and everything. Basically, I worked at a hotel some years ago, and this is just a precursor to what I want to talk about. And there was a fellow in there with a long, he had blonde hair, mod-style hair, large man, about 5'11", penetrating, murderous-looking eyes. The character was a loner, complete loner. The guy seemed, to me, I thought he was the Zodiac. I looked in a book. I started reading one of the books, and then I looked at another book. At the time, it was called In Search of the Green River Killer. I know the Green River Killer murdered about 68 people, supposedly, and they caught a fellow, and I guess they could tie him through DNA to about 7 or 8 or 9, not all the killings. But I thought possibly the Zodiac might have gone up and added to it. But to make a long story short, what I really want to get into, Dave Schrader, the guy that's on your line, he had a fellow by the name of James Cameron on, who was chief of detectives at a place called Deer Lake, Montana, and he was investigating a cold case, and basically investigating this cold case up in Deer Lake, Montana. It was the murder at a lover's lane of a young couple back in 1956. Now, Cameron wrote a book called My Name is Edward Wayne Edwards. I'm the only serial killer you've never heard of. And basically, this fellow, Edward Wayne Edwards, had written a book called Confessions of a Reformed Criminal. It wasn't called Confessions of a Murderer or a Serial Killer, but it was called Confessions of a Reformed Criminal, and he was on Truth or Consequences even. And basically what he does, he gives information about where he was, and I guess through DNA, I don't know exactly how Cameron did it, but he was going through this cold case, and he tied it to this guy, Edward Wayne Edwards. He claims that Edward Wayne Edwards, his name was, I think a friend of his I don't know if he was a logician or a fellow that cracks codes, what you're talking about. But basically, he claims that this fellow, Edward Wayne Edwards' name is actually in it, and he claims he's in all these different cities at different times. It was an amazing.
So the contention here is, Robert, that this Edward Edwards may be in fact the Zodiac Killer. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Not only was the Zodiac Killer, but he claims he goes back as a young man. He had a kind of a brutal life. He grew up in Cleveland. His mother left him with his grandparents. She went to prison. She came out. She was...
Okay, let me get Tom to jump in here, Robert. I appreciate the call. Let me get Tom, because time is tight here. I want to work as many calls in as we can. Tom, are you familiar with this Edward Edwards individual, and is it possible that, I mean, does he fit the MO, the profile of the Zodiac Killer?
Oh, I'm very well aware of Edward Edwards, and the problem, well, one of the many problems with this theory is that the author also connects Edwards to being the killer of the Black Dahlia and the killer of JonBenet Ramsey. So, I mean, you know, how many people, I mean, this guy was, what, 80 years old, and he started killing when he was 5, I guess. Also, Edwards was about 450 pounds and a very old, sick man when JonBenet was murdered, and I really don't see an old, sick, 450-pound man crawling through that window to get to JonBenet Ramsey. As far as the culpability in the Zodiac crimes, Edwards, I've seen plenty of his handwriting. His handwriting is very distinctive and no way like the Zodiac's handwriting. Also, Edwards had a distinctive Southern drawl to his voice, and the Zodiac was described as not having any kind of regional accent. So I've never seen any piece of information that makes me think that Edwards could be the Zodiac. In fact, there are a lot of things that indicate that he couldn't be the Zodiac, but that's probably a different show.
All right, Robert, thanks for the call from Culver City. Let's go to the scene of the crime. Back to the wild card line. Zach is in San Francisco. Hey, Zach, welcome to Coast.
Thank you for taking my call, Richard. I have a couple questions for Tom. First, regarding the film that was done a few years back on the Zodiac, I was wondering if you were a consultant on it and how accurate that film was.
I was supposed to build the website for that film, and I don't really, that was about 7 years ago. I was contracted to build the film's website. And in retrospect, I think that was a way to get me to sign a confidentiality agreement, because they paid me to do some work for the site for about a month, and then I never heard from them again. So as far as the accuracy of the film, it was not accurate. It was probably, I don't know, 80% inaccurate. I mean, they got the names of the victims correct and so forth. But as far as, the main thing is, in the film, the characters played by Jake Gyllenhaal and Robert Downey Jr. are depicted as being kind of cohorts and working together and trying to solve the case together. And in real life, they didn't even know each other.
This is the David Fincher film, correct?
The David Fincher film. And it,
okay.
You know, my main problem with the film is that Fincher was quoted during the filming process. He was quoted by the San Francisco Chronicle saying something along the lines of, the film is going to be completely factual, and if is not documented in a police report, it will not be in the film. And that's a quote. And then when you watch the film, virtually nothing in the film is from any police report. And, you know, I realize it's a movie, it's not a documentary. But and I enjoyed the first two-thirds of it, but it's not accurate. If you want to see an accurate portrayal, the director's cut version of the film has two DVDs, and there's an excellent documentary included in the director's cut called This is the Zodiac Speaking. It's an excellent documentary.
Thanks for the call, Zach. How do you suspect the Zodiac Killer came up with the name Zodiac Killer? Was he interested in astrology, or was it something far more prosaic or banal?
Well, he never called himself the Zodiac, but he never called himself the Zodiac Killer. As far as why he called himself that, you know, that was the rage back in the late 60s, especially in San Francisco, astrology, and that's all that revolves around the Zodiac. So it might have been he had a deep-seated interest in astrology, or maybe he just wanted a catchy name. You know, for example, today he might have called himself the Hipster. It was topical, and it was local to where he was. So the actual letters and codes that have been decoded, there's no evidence he didn't write about about astrology. He didn't really make any astrological references. But then again, if the Zodiac, whoever the Zodiac was very much into astrology, then it would have been in his best interest to not give that clue away, because it could lead to his capture. Somebody could figure it out. So that's one of the unknown questions about the case, is how did he come up with that nickname?
All right. I believe you have a theory about that, though. Maybe we can delve into that after the break. In the meantime, let's go to the wild card line yet again and check in with Thomas in Atlanta. Hey, Thomas.
Hi. How are you doing?
Very well.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question for your guest. I just want to ask about the handwriting. Have you ever been able to get a hold of any documents or anything that they've done prior to looking at the handwriting and being able to compare them up?
Oh, sure. That's the first thing that is done when you're talking about a Zodiac suspect, is the handwriting is extremely important, because the Zodiac's letters are now part of the public domain. In fact, I'm really proud that a majority of Zodiac's written material debuted at ZodiacKiller.com. Up until I launched the website in 1998, there were some scans from newspapers that you could obtain and figure out and look at some of his handwriting. There were some letters that were reproduced in a book, and you could see his handwriting. But a majority of the Zodiac's written material debuted at my website after I got into the police departments, and they gave me this stuff. And so I got a bug in my throat. So handwriting comparison is the first thing that people do when they have a suspect, is they go to my site and they look at the Zodiac's handwriting and compare it to their suspect's handwriting.
Yeah. All right. Why was he so difficult to catch? I mean, they had physical descriptions, did they not? Why was this such a tough case to crack?
Well, law enforcement was not really that, let's say, technologically advanced. And, you know, nowadays there's a camera at every street corner. You know, people have smartphones, and when something happens, you take a picture of it, put it on the internet immediately. All sorts of surveillance is going on. And it's easier to leave a trail nowadays with credit cards and debit cards and cell phones. Back then, you know, if you had a compulsion to kill at random, chances are you were going to get away with it. Most people didn't kill at random. Most people, and the detectives, really didn't have any experience with compulsive killers or killers that were planning these things for their unknown purposes. Usually murders were in the act of a robbery, or they were crimes of anger, in which case you can link the victim with the killer. They were domestic issues, whatever. Zodiac appeared to be random. And the fact is, if you or I wanted to go into a lover's lane right now and shoot somebody at random, we'd have a head start to get away with it. And that's pretty much what Zodiac did. So I'm not really surprised that he didn't get that, you know, that he's still at large, but he can be caught. There's so much evidence now that's available that he can be caught.
All right. When we come back, I want to ask you about how Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, became a suspect. This was news to me. I had no idea that he was at one time considered a suspect in the Zodiac killer case. Back with more of my conversation with Tom Voigt, ZodiacKiller.com, the website. Can you help crack the case? Give us a call right here on Coast to Coast AM. Tom Voigt is with ZodiacKiller.com, and we'll continue to delve into that 45-year-old mystery. That case has yet to be cracked, and perhaps that little tidbit of information is waiting on the phone lines. When we come back, we'll find out from Tom how the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, sort of got on the radar and became a suspect in this case. And then Tom will reveal who the most likely suspect is, the Zodiac Killer Unmasked, perhaps, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Tom Voigt stays with us, and he has graciously agreed to stay with us beyond the top of the hour. So we will push back the open line portion of the program until the final hour. I mean, you know, just sometimes the people have spoken, and they want to talk about the Zodiac killer, Tom Voigt. Let me ask you, before we get back to the calls, about the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. How did he become a suspect in this case?
He was kind of an obvious candidate, because he was doing some of the same things as the Unabomber that the Zodiac was doing, committing crimes, taking credit for them, writing letters and making demands. And so once Ted Kaczynski was caught and identified as the Unabomber, the police knew that he was in the Bay Area in the late 1960s and so forth. And so he became an obvious suspect. And the police looked at him in San Francisco, and they were able to rule him out through DNA and fingerprints and through handwriting and so forth. And the FBI then said, well, you know, let us have a look at it. And so the FBI reinvestigated Kaczynski, and they were able to rule him out using the same methods that the San Francisco police did. It was DNA, it was fingerprints, handwriting. The heavy stuff ruled out Kaczynski, but he was an interesting suspect, and his handwriting is remarkably similar to the Zodiac's. However, there was no evidence that came to light, and Kaczynski has denied being the Zodiac. And you have to ask yourself, since he's already in prison for life, why wouldn't he just admit it if it was him? But Kaczynski says it wasn't, and in fact, all the physical evidence says that Kaczynski was not the Zodiac.
All right, let's go back to the phone calls. And first-time caller Gloria is in Oakland, California. Hey, Gloria, welcome to Coast. How are you?
Hi.
Good to have you aboard.
Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can.
We can hear you.
Okay. Yes, I had an incident that happened to me in the 70s. I lived in Alameda, California at the time, and it was around the time when all that stuff was happening with the Zodiac. But I wasn't really paying attention on all that stuff. I was going on my way to my mom's house. I lived around the corner, and I was a young girl. And I turned around, and I saw this man, and he had a hunting knife, and he was coming right after me. And I took a good look at him. He had glasses, like military glasses. He was about 6'1", 6'2". He had light brown, blondish hair, like not real blonde, but light brown. And he was a white man, and he looked like he might have been in the military because he had a white T-shirt, and he had those jeans that they wear in the Navy, not the sailor outfit, but jeans. And he had a shiny black shoe, and he was coming after me. But at the time, I was a really good runner, and I ran away from him. But I took a good look at him.
All right.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Are you continue, Gloria.
Yeah, and I went home to my mom's house, but I jumped the fence. I was so scared. I couldn't talk to my mom. I didn't call the police. I was in complete shock, you see, when this happened. And for a long time, you know, I didn't know who that guy was, but my friend was telling me it could have been the Zodiac because it was about the time that the Zodiac was doing all the killing. So what I think, in my theory, he might have been in the military, and he was a veteran. But the look that he gave me in his face, like he had a post-traumatic, you know, attack, you know, like, you know, he wasn't in his right mind, you know. And the knife that he was carrying, like a hunting knife, I mean, it wasn't just like a regular buck knife. It was a hunting knife. It was really, really long knife. Like he was hunting me, and I was some kind of animal.
Tom, what do you think? Is it possible that Gloria had an encounter with the Zodiac killer?
It's certainly possible. The Zodiac was all over the Bay Area during the late 60s. But, you know, the West Coast and California in particular, during that period of time, had an overabundance of crazy people. And the mental hospitals were filled with them. What was happening is in the mid-1960s, people around the country were seeing the rioting that was going on in Berkeley, the students that were rioting, fighting the police, and they were, and it was insane. And nobody had seen anything like that before. It was on the world news. And that coupled with the idea of the Summer of Love, and it was drawing a lot of people who were interested in that type of behavior, who were interested in fighting the police, who were interested in causing mayhem. And those people were drawn to the Bay Area. Through the world news, and it was attracting a lot of very sketchy people to California. And there's a saying that North America is tilted to the left, and all the nuts rolled to the West Coast in the 1960s, and Ted Kaczynski being one of them. So it could have been the Zodiac, or it could have been one of the other 50,000 berserk people who were in California in the late 60s.
All right, Gloria, thanks for the call. East of the Rockies, do we still have John in Brooklyn? Okay. Hey, John, are you there?
Yep.
Welcome to Coast. Come on board.
Okay. It was a radio show. I think it was on WNYCAM. The show was on about 2 months ago. A man called a detective. He gave his DNA and ended up that it was his father. His mother said when he was a baby and he was crying, his father used to put him in a cardboard box. It sounded like a legitimate show, and his name is a code he learned in Japan. Well, like the Zodiac Killer says, it's right in front of you if you know the code or something to that effect. He learned the code in Japan, and his name is, you know, coincided with that code. That if you know the code, you get exactly his name.
All right, John. Now, Tom, as you pointed out, it's become almost a cottage industry. People are coming out of the woodwork claiming my stepdaddy was the Zodiac Killer. Is this another example?
Well, in just this year alone, there's been a book published claiming that, you know, my stepfather or my father was a Zodiac Killer. And then someone else came forward earlier in the year that stated that his best friend made a deathbed confession. And that got a whole bunch of publicity. But keep in mind, also this year, there was a story that got extensive coverage that stated that actor Russell Johnson, who played the professor on Gilligan's Island, was the Zodiac Killer. So you have to keep in mind that the case is now part of pop culture in America, and there are going to be people that just desperately want to be involved with it for whatever reason. And there are also going to be cases of parody, such as when The Onion website last year did a story detailing the confessions of Dick Van Dyke, claiming to be the Zodiac Killer, confessing to being the Zodiac Killer. So it's sometimes hard to separate the fact from fiction. I'm not aware of this radio show that the caller referred to, but I do know that there's a shortage of people who believe and want you to believe that they know who the Zodiac was. And oddly enough, it's always the stepfather. What is it about stepfathers?
That's a good point. Listen, before we go any further, I think it's important at this point, let's just mention some of the victims' names here, because I mean, this is what this is all about, really. And I know you've been good enough to mention the victims by name on your website. Can we run through some of the victims' names here, Tom?
The first known victims were killed December 20th, 1968. In Solano County, California, just outside of the city of Vallejo. And they were David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen. And they were on their first official date, although they had been seeing each other secretly. This was the first time that the parents allowed them to go anywhere. And they ended up where they were killed, on Lake Herman Road, kind of a lover's lane. And they were initially supposed to be going to someplace else. And at the last minute, they decided to head out to Lake Herman Road, and if they hadn't made that decision, then they might still be alive. It's rather tragic that they were supposed to go to a Christmas concert, and they chose not to. And the mother of Betty Lou Jensen kept Betty's bedroom intact up until the late 1990s. Nothing had changed in Betty Lou's bedroom until the mother finally died and the house was sold. The subsequent victims were Darlene Farron and Mike Maggio. They were killed in Vallejo just after midnight on July 5th, 1969. Darlene was murdered. Mike did survive. He's still alive in Southern California. And then 2 months later, Cecilia Shepherd and Brian Hartnell were attacked at Lake Berryessa in Napa County, California. That's the knife attack. The others were guns. And the Zodiac wore a bizarre costume for that particular attack. It was like an executioner's hood, and it was depicted rather gruesomely in David Fincher's 2007 film called Zodiac. And the final known victim was killed in San Francisco on October 11th, 1969, just over 45 years ago. His name was Paul Stein, and he was a student at SF State and sold insurance and drove a cab to make ends meet. The suspected or possible victims, there are quite a few. Robert Domingos and Linda Edwards, Sherry Jo Bates, Kathleen Johns, and Donna Loss are the probably the five most famous and most likely possible victims.
All right. Starla is in Marysville, California on the wild card line. Starla, welcome to Coast. You're on the line with Tom Voigt.
Hi. I met this guy, and we became pretty close, and he used to have nightmares at night really bad. And finally, he came, you know, he told me about what happened, and he was talking to me about his father being a killer and things he went through and things his dad did. And, you know, so I looked up a couple of the stories he was talking about, and they were verified. I mean, what he was telling the truth, and there was, you know, some people killed up in Mendocino County and things like that. I never really talked to anybody about it, and I was listening to the show tonight, and I just thought, you know what? If, you know, maybe we could get my number off air or something like that. Maybe we could talk a little bit more in detail about this. But it just kind of got to me, you know, because I did look up those murders, and they were true. And those two stories were true.
Well, I suppose we could do that, Starla. We could give your number off the air to Gina or Dan. But in the meantime, Tom, is there anything you'd like to ask Starla that might lead to some little bits of evidence?
Well, I'd like to ask her to go to ZodiacKiller.com, and you're going to see a link to contact the site, and you can include as much information as you want. You don't have to put your full name, or you can include your full name. And I give every possible way there is for people to contact me. You can contact me at the info line through email, Facebook, Twitter, postal service, or you can even contact me anonymously and send me some details. And I would be very interested in reading that.
All right. Next up is Keith in Rochester, New York on the wild card line. Keith, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
In 1970, an Inspector Matheson of San Francisco PD said Zodiac could be a returning Vietnam vet. In Vietnam in 1966 into 67, there were at least four serial killings attributed to one unknown soldier. Matheson said the killer would have returned to society in late 67 and started killing in 68. You also mentioned the Santa Barbara killings in 63. He could have done those before going into the military. And it was also speculated in Vietnam because the authorities were only catching on after he probably left tour of duty that he might have been a higher ranking officer because you just can't roam around a war zone leaving your post. Military people just can't roam freely, but the killings were spread about. But only one guy was doing it, and I'm wondering if he came back to the States 67, started killing in 68, that would tie in with the timeline as so far as 63 throughout 71, 72, which was when I last heard any reports from Matheson.
I haven't heard anything about that serial killings in Vietnam by a soldier. I would, you know, if you could send me some details, I'd be curious about that because that is interesting. And of course, it's been a theory for decades that the Zodiac was in the military. There are reasons to believe he was. He wore military shoes at one crime scene or potentially two crime scenes, and he numbered the pages of his letters in a military type fashion. And there are lots of little things, especially his description, as seen in San Francisco with the crew cut. There are reasons to believe that he had a military background. So that's interesting, and it's also news to me about the serial killings in Vietnam. So if you wouldn't mind sending me an email, I'd love to get some more details.
Keith, thanks for the call in Rochester. Just a reminder, Tom Voigt will stay with us beyond the top of the hour, and we'll move the open line segment into the final hour of the program here on Coast to Coast. Tom, before we hit that top of the hour, we'll take another call. But first, tell me about your GoFundMe campaign. What's that all about?
Well, you know, the case is not actively investigated by law enforcement. They have tax money that they can spend to fund investigations. And, of course, you know, I don't have that luxury. And for nearly 20 years, I've been spending my own money and trying to access these materials and share them with the public. And I've gotten most of the Zodiac's written material out there. I've collected it and published it, the police reports, the crime scene photos, and there's a lot more out there to get to, but I just don't have the resources. So I did launch a GoFundMe campaign to raise Zodiac research funds, and I ask anyone who appreciates ZodiacKiller.com to pledge whatever feels right And in turn, everything I obtain will be shared just as I have since 1998 when I launched ZodiacKiller.com. And the GoFundMe link is at the main page, ZodiacKiller.com. And I'm going to try to raise $10,000, and I figure that'll pay every person who is charging me, you know, for these materials. I used to be able to get them for free, police reports and crime scene photos and all this stuff that's vital to the investigation. People used to give it to me, but now the case is so popular and famous that when people do come forward with these type of materials, you know, they know they're valuable. And so it's a way to help me research the case, and it's all going to be put on the site anyway. I feel like 45 years is long enough. The case is solvable. It's just probably not going to be done through law enforcement. So this is an alternate method. And if you think it's worthwhile, then the link is on the main page of ZodiacKiller.com. And I certainly appreciate it because there is so much left out there to find and obtain and share. And there is one thing that I want to talk about probably, I guess, next hour. There is a Zodiac letter, confirmed Zodiac letter, in the... it is in custody of the Department of Justice in Sacramento, and it's a confirmed Zodiac letter that has never been publicized.
Wow. And this would be post 1974, the last supposed letter, or before 74?
Well, I wasn't given the postmark date. All I was told is that the letter was authenticated and that the letter was sent from the Zodiac to the chairman of the California Department of Motor Vehicles. I don't know what the Zodiac wrote in the letter. I don't know where it was mailed or when it was mailed, but I do know it was authenticated, and I do know that it was sent to the chairman of the California Department of Motor Vehicles. And for some reason, the letter was never publicized. The Department of Justice would have received the letter. The chairman would have received it, and that's a government agency. The Department of Motor Vehicles is a government agency under the DOJ umbrella. So it all would have been easily kept in-house. And the DOJ's document examiner would have looked at the letter. Only a handful of people would have needed to see it. And if the Zodiac did not include a threat in the letter to publish the he was always saying, you better publish this or I'm going to kill people. If the letter did not contain such a threat, then there would have really been no reason to publish it, especially since it was not sent to a newspaper in the first place. It was sent to a government agency. So everything is in place for this to be an authenticated, never-before-seen Zodiac letter that I've known about for 7 years, and it's like Oak Island. Something always happens, you know, to keep me from getting it. And it's one of these, I know it's out there, and I'm not going to give up, but it's just about driving me crazy. I've had it almost in my hands 3 times.
All right, listen, we'll pick up on that point when we come back. Tom Voigt, ZodiacKiller.com.